B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates. Happy MLK Day to everyone. I hope people have the day off, but if you don't, we're here to keep you company. On the way to work today, Trey, happy Martin Luther King Day.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah.
Are you mad at me that we're working today?
Hey, man, you know, hey.
Yeah. Let me answer that for you. Yes. Translation. King, yes.
We like, Trey, what do you think? He's like, man, there's nothing to do at 6 a.m. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I guess we're coming in. Party. Let's party.
Yeah, see, this is your fault too, Thomas. Because when you are asked these questions, instead of saying, yeah, I want off, you do say that all the time. Yeah, what else am I going to do?
I know, but I'm going to be the guy. That says, no, I don't want to come in.
Yes, yeah, right. Be a leader.
You know, everybody's like, hey, do you want to come in to work? No. But all right.
Yeah. What's wrong?
All right, I won't blame you then.
You know what? I woke up this morning, and I felt like I aged 20 years just yesterday.
Yeah, I was
watching
trying.
Those games. It was insane. I even put this out on the old social media. Good luck, Super Bowl Sunday. As great as Super Bowl Sunday is, no matter what, good luck topping this championship Sunday.
First
that we all
time NFL history, two games go to overtime in that situation.
Bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. The other thing was that as great of a day as it was, to end on a walk-off touchdown, like that's a thing now. Right, and it's been a thing for a long time. And I mean, you could score a touchdown on the opening drive of every overtime in NFL history, and you could win the game. You know, first score wins, sudden death, which was stupid. Now it's still stupid that you could still win without the other team having a possession. Now the Saints had a possession; they coughed it up. Drew Brees threw the interception. Actually, should have been his second interception late in that game. How the Rams didn't pick off that floater he had for 43 yards to Ted Ginn is miraculous at the 2 minute warning of that game. But just yesterday's games were just absolutely nuts from start to finish. And I have never been more happy to dance on the grave of a season of a team not in the NFC East than I was yesterday to dance on the grave of the New Orleans Saints. And Jamie, I know you were right there with me. I thought I was having fun, and then I saw your timeline, and I was like, oh my God.
I was
savage.
I was being ruthless, and I loved it. Mark Ingram's tears, I was like, feed them to me. Let me drink from the bath of Ingram tears.
When I saw not only that tweet, but other people's tweets about how upset they were and saw videos of their locker room and everything, I couldn't help but think of Cartman, eating the tear, drinking the tears
of Scott,
that.
Erickson's dead parents? Yes. Or drinking Scott's tears of his dead parents after he killed his parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Normal stuff.
Yeah, I forgot that was the context of it. Yeah. Perhaps I should not have tweeted that.
Well, he killed his parents and then fed him his parents in chili. So, yeah, that was pretty dark.
Oh, Miscusi. It's a cartoon. Whatever. So, anyway, I couldn't help but respond to your tweets with that, with the Cartman licking the tears off the kid's face.
Great.
And then I saw Shefty tweet out you'll feel bad for the Saints type of tweet. Yeah. And I'm like, I just put that gif on there as well of Cartman doing the same thing. It was popular. It did well on that timeline. But just an insane game. But we're going to talk about the rules in the NFL in overtime, because it's just, no one's ever happy.
Hold on.
They've been stupid for a long time.
Yeah. I never heard Jimmy Buffett sing the national anthem.
I missed that.
Horrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like, I'm listening to it, and I said out loud, this guy is a professional singer.
He could have picked anyone. I mean, just, hey, you, up there, seat, come on down.
In New Orleans, now, not every city you could say that, but in New Orleans.
Jimmy Buffett, man.
In New Orleans, you could walk down the street and just find anyone to do a better job.
Go into any bar with somebody that's behind a microphone, they were better than that.
Yes. And he dropped the mic at the end. Like, I just killed this.
Well, it's good that he's confident.
Dude, it was awful.
I saw
when you're worth like $1 billion, yeah, it's easy to be confident.
Sure.
When you're bad.
But to drop the mic after the national anthem?
Yeah.
And then who did the second game? It wasn't as good.
Melissa something.
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she smashed Jimmy Buffett's.
You and I could have smashed Jimmy Buffett.
I mean, it wasn't Fergie bad, but it was bad.
Gotcha. All right. It's amazing what an apostrophe S did at the end of that sentence. But anyway, I missed both national anthems. I was just getting back in and sat down and just caught the opening kickoff for the Saints. And
making your nachos?
No, I was actually having a crab omelet. Thank you very much. And it was delicious. Mm-hmm. I got back home and watched the games and all that fun stuff. But the other part of it, aside from the OT rules, is just whether or not replay needs... Do you want more replay in the NFL?
You need... it depends on the situation. When we're talking about some of these rules and stuff, I could see adding some of that, especially when it comes to like pass interference and all that.
Yeah. If you have it, I feel like you should use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go.
It's there.
I don't want to go about and say that there should be everything should be reviewed, but when it's as blatant as a pass interference,
so you're saying Sean Payton should have the ability to challenge a non-call.
Yeah.
Because I believe that is a slippery slope.
Yeah, because then now what? You know.
Oh, but it's all a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope once you said, yeah, replay, yeah, bring it back.
Is all the replay lending to what we saw in the first game? Like the second game, you had a lot of replays, and they all worked out perfectly. You know, you had the catch that wasn't a catch. You had different things that happened in that
Edelman
second game.
Edelman not touching the ball.
Edelman not touching the ball, which was a huge, huge. All right, for those, yeah, the replay worked. I just think the officials are getting worse and worse and worse because of the fact replay's there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your backup. Oh, if I miss it, that's your backup. The play that wasn't called, I almost didn't mind it because it didn't put the referee into the game. It was like, okay, whatever. Now, I don't know. I am so torn on this. I think if you take away some of the reviews and all that stuff, that it humanizes the game a little bit more and it makes players know exactly what they can do a little bit better.
Right, look, again, I was dancing on the Saints' grave yesterday, but I always think about what happens if it happens to us in Philadelphia.
That's how you have to look at it.
So, can you imagine?
So let the good people of Philadelphia hear me now. Hear ye, hear ye. If that happens here, we're not here today because it's burned to the ground. It's all gone. Everything's gone.
Airwaves are on fire.
Exactly.
Today.
There's not even me speaking into this microphone. There's no Philadelphia. It does not. We have imploded as a city if that happens. If that happened here, we're screaming that everything should be reviewed. Everything should be up for review and everything like that. Penalties and everything like that. But that play was egregious. I think we can all admit that
it was bad.
Atrocious. Atrocious call, and I'm thrilled that it went against the Saints because I hate that team now.
They deserve the worst
team
in life.
They absolutely do. Of course, we're going to go through everything that was Championship Sunday and how incredible it was. We're going to talk about, I think, a maturity level that I'm trying to reach as a fan listening to Tony Romo, and I'm getting there. There's still two things that I'm just not ready with. Two things. One personal, one professional. If I could just sit Tony Romo down and have a conversation with the man. First off, he'd probably predict what I'm going to tell him anyway.
Yes.
And then break it down before I even tell him. How he played into the Bryce Harper saga yesterday a little bit. We'll get into that. We will get into the 76ers and what happened in that loss.
What a great game.
On Saturday.
Unfortunately, the wrong
game. They fought and then just stupid in the final 15 seconds of that game. Just unbelievable. We got some Temple tickets we want to give away. We got some auto show tickets we're going to give away. And we have some more information about Super Bowl weekend, including the party itself. We have the teams. And pretty much throughout the day, I'll be announcing the rest of the teams into the field of 64. Now, we're going to have some play-in games there, so we're going to get into that in a little bit. But right now, we're going to focus on the party for this because you can download your tickets at 975thefanatic.com. 975thefanatic.com. People that just show up to participate in the party can walk away with some incredible prizes. They got some free food at the event as well. Philly Pretzel Factory, Hers Chips will be there. Beck's Cajun Cafe, Tony Roney's, that's always nice to throw in there. Deetson Watson, Piccalilli Inn, and beer sales, by the way, Trey, start at 7 a.m.
Oh, that's awesome.
You want to have a beer at 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
I didn't say you would.
I'll answer for anybody else.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thank you. We got some more sexy weather reports that we got to talk about.
All right.
We have all that and more coming up on today's show. At 610-632-0975, our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do you have?
Today we asked, would you be in favor for more replay in the NFL? We have just over 100 votes so far. 59% say yes.
Wow, it's going to be a close one today, mm-hmm. It seems like. All right, coming up in a few, we'll hear the tears of Sean Payton, something that I believe everyone in Philadelphia would love to hear. Time at the Fanatic is 611.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Andrew Salchunas on the updates. Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, as I adjust my microphone here. 610-632-0975. Was it easy for you, Trey, to be gracious in defeat? Could you go over there and shake the man's hand?
Yeah,
could you shake the hand. Could you do a jersey exchange?
I've done it.
Anybody good you get?
Yeah, I have Simeon's.
Oh,
yeah. Simeon Rice.
That's a good battle right there. All right. Yeah. So some interesting things yesterday after the game, and you always want the winner to be gracious in victory and also gracious in defeat, right? You shouldn't be a sore loser. I get why the Saints would be sore losers yesterday, and that doesn't mean that I can't enjoy it, but I acknowledge it, and I give them the credit. Now, Drew Brees yesterday, we'll hear from him first before let's hear from Sean Payton. Drew Brees after the game yesterday took to the podium where he was asked about the non-pass interference call following the two-minute warning against the Rams. Talked about it, and here he is. I promise.
Swear to God.
It's going to happen.
Come on, Drew.
I'm having a little computer malfunction.
Oh, well,
can you stand by for about 30 seconds while I reload it in a new program?
It's not your fault, James. It's Drew's fault.
Yeah, right. It's Drew. He doesn't want to talk right now. He's so upset after last night's loss, he doesn't even want to talk right now.
That's he may revisit he it in about 20 seconds, but right now,
he might.
It's a little fresh.
He's gathering himself. He's gathering his thoughts. He's composing himself, and then you know what he's going to do? He's going to talk to us. He's going to let us know how he felt. Now, here's the other part of this. Aaron Andrews had to grab the head coach afterwards as well. She had to grab the head coach. She had to grab Sean Payton and talk to him about it. So Sean was a little upset as well. Pretty much everybody in the Saints locker room was holding their heads in their hands.
All right, we should be good to hear from old Drew now.
Oh, we should? That sounds like a plan. Let's hear from Drew Brees. What do you have to say about the non-call?
If we were playing pickup football in the backyard, it was as obvious a call. How we can, two guys can look at that and come up and arrive with their decision. It happened, though, so you can't dwell on it. You know, we'll probably never get over it.
And they never will. And you hear a guy like Brett Favre talk about losing the second Super Bowl to the Broncos, and that actually sticks out in his mind more so than the one he won, because it's what could have been. Do you, at all, 05, that Super Bowl after the 04 season, do you relive that in your head, Trey?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes I think about it. I'm like, damn, we were right there.
I am shocked to hear that.
Because that's not like you at all.
No. But it's because it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. So every now and then I think about it.
Right,
especially around this time of year. It's like, damn, I wish we would have won that.
Yeah. So do we.
You didn't ride in the parade, did you, for this past Super Bowl?
No, I had the flu.
You had the flu,
yeah.
But you were invited?
No.
You were just going to crash it?
I just crashed. You know, no, they did have like a area for the alumni, but you can ride on the bus to go down there with the team. You shouldn't want to.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I know some people were on there. So I think they had some alumni go on, but...
Because I
interviewed some people that were at the steps right before they went up for the whole ceremony. Mm-hmm. Right before they went up there and just continued the party, but gave these players a live microphone after being on the buses for, you know, so many hours already.
Uh-huh.
Now, Drew Brees also talked about the specifically the no PI call and whether or not it had any bearing in overtime.
After that, listen, you're going to play ball, you know, just like you would throughout the season when something like that might happen, or a call goes your way or it doesn't, you're on to the next play. So it had no bearing on overtime, at least not for me.
Well, Drew Brees had the interception in overtime as he was hit while he threw. Then before that, before overtime, before even the PI call, the Saints went conservative. It seemed like they were dinking and dunking, in the middle of the field a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little out routes, running the football and all that other stuff. They seemed like all of a sudden, after a 43-yard gain to Ted Ginn, they started to play conservative. The Saints did. So then you look a little further, and Sean Payton's the guy that's calling those plays, and Sean Payton is the guy that's been through all this before, and he certainly had his share of bad calls go against him and for him throughout his career. So Sean Payton, with Aaron Andrews after the game, did the interview for Fox. Here's Sean Payton.
Welsh, on the sequence following Ted Ginn Jr.'s completion obviously did not go as planned. What explanation did you get from the officials on the no call and the miscontact there?
They felt like the player arrived at the same time the ball did. And they didn't feel like it was an interference call. Look, it's a tough way to lose a game, especially when you're in a position like that to win it. And it's all the more reason why we need more replay. We lose, I mean, a chance to go to the Super Bowl with a call like that, it's just disappointing.
So it finishes by saying it's disappointing. Now, you could also argue that there was a face mask on the previous possession by the Rams at the goal line where they settled for a field goal, where I believe they couldn't have got up 4 points with a reset of downs, and if they would have been able to punch it in, it would have been from the 1 yard line. So you could argue either way. You could argue that the Saints, the Saints also benefited from poor officiating.
I would have been more happy if Sean Payton would have said, yeah, you know what? Tough call. How about if when we go up 23-20, our defense maybe should have held them without a field goal and we could have won the game? You know, I understand it and all that, but how would Doug Peterson have handled it? I don't think he would have gone, I just called the league office, just got off the phone with them. They said it was a bad call, horrendous, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. No. Hey, I'm going to take a look at it, but, you know, maybe we should have stopped. I think Doug Peterson would have gone the high road. Sean Payton doesn't. I understand. I understand the freshness of the wound. But, man, that kind of left a sour taste in my mouth.
I'll tell you exactly.
Okay, stop him.
I'll tell you exactly what Doug Peterson would have done. He would have had the same reaction on the sideline as Sean Payton in terms of running down the sideline.
No question. Every coach.
Absolutely. Then afterwards, he would say, I don't know. I got to send tape in on Monday. We'll wait till we get a response.
Emotional intelligence.
And guess what? Sean Payton was the one that ran it up on the Eagles with the, hey, you want to stop me? Stop me. Yeah. I'm not going to. Okay. You want to win that game? Stop bitching about the call and don't let the other team go down with a minute 41 to go and get a field goal to tie the game.
Yeah, maybe not play timid down the stretch either. During that final possession that they had. Exactly. During that final possession they had in regulation, maybe not just do the dink and dunk thing and actually try to win the football game. And now wait for the referee to bail you out. How about that? So when it comes to replay, Trey, from a player's perspective, would you be in favor of more replay in the game?
It depends on what you're calling. Like, for something like that, where you're talking about this pass interference call, I'm okay with it. I mean, especially, like, even when you saw with the punt and everything last night with the Edelman, if he touched the ball or not. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some situations like that. If it's a catch or not catch, I'm all for it, as long as you get the call right.
All right. Now, there's something else that happened after this game, and I'll let you hear again from Sean Payton as he was addressing the media after the game. That was him with Aaron Andrews. Here he is in his press conference when he got the explanation from the league.
It was simple. They blew the call. Should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. We spoke initially, then I called to follow up, and first thing Al said when I got on the phone, we messed it up.
I don't believe you. But he mentioned somebody in particular. He said Al. So I don't know if you can lie and mention somebody's name. Like, oh, I talked to Al. Like, if I'm lying, I'm going to say I talked to the office. And I don't know if I'm.
I'd imagine they record those calls.
I don't know about that. I don't know why.
I would imagine the league office would want most of their calls recorded, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God,
especially when you're talking to a coach.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you call Comcast, your calls are recorded. You call you call your cell phone, but it's all recorded. Yeah. League is going to have their own backs there.
So before Sean Payton gets Al, he hears your call could be recorded for quality.
Maybe
assistance.
It's something they signed off on, like any call to the league.
He
offices.
Actually talked to Al Michaels, so it doesn't hold any.
Al Cowling's working for the league office.
Yeah,
610.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know, but here's the other part that is just so damning from the officiating crew. And I feel like this year, really, this is the most I feel like we've talked about officials throughout the entire year for every team, not just the Eagles, but for every team. This is the most we've talked about officials since the year of the replacement referees. Really, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And the replacement referees, their biggest thing, I mean, I don't want to go off on that, but I mean, they just couldn't really, they couldn't make a call without doing the classic, what it was, double foul. What do you call it? I can't think of it right now.
Offsetting penalties.
Offsetting penalties.
Offsetting
thank
penalties.
You.
Okay.
And also, they couldn't, the thing that they lacked was the credibility because everybody knew they were replacements. But these guys, these are supposed to be the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. And they're getting it blatantly wrong. And the one that always sticks out to me is how you take away a fumble from somebody when they walk, when they literally get up from the pile and they have the ball in their hands. Mm-hmm. And there's no other team. And I'm talking about the no clear recovery rule with the Eagles and Cowboys in their second matchup in Dallas. So it's been awful, awful officiating. But the most damning thing of all this is the fact that after the game, they ask the officiating crew, they ask the lead official, what happened on that play? And he says, I don't know. I didn't see it.
That would be Bill Vinovich.
He does, hadn't even seen the play. He had an opportunity.
Sorry, I haven't looked at it yet.
He had an opportunity after the game.
Had a cup of coffee.
Had to get on his flight, I guess. Yeah. But how, after such a controversial play, do you get into your, you get in front of the reporters before you have a chance to look at that play?
Yeah.
How does that make any sense? How, as a league, can you approve that if you are trying to maintain the integrity of the game, if you're trying to do the best possible job you can? How can you do that?
Yeah, I'm thinking as soon as he comes off the field, that should have been something that they all got together and like, hey, man, let's just take a quick look at this again. And especially since you knew you're going to get interviewed and be asked a question on this. Just maybe.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Just take a little time.
You don't, and you guys know, I'm very good friends with guys that oversee NBA officiating. Mm-hmm. It is the first thing you do when you hit that room, because they'll have higher ups there who are overseeing these officials, and they'll be sitting there, hey, come on in, Bill, real quick. What were you guys thinking? I'm telling you that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you these guys didn't have their shirts and hats off before they were looking at it again.
If it happened here, would it become instantaneously the worst non-call or worst officiating moment in the history of Philadelphia sports?
It would be Leon Stickle-ish.
Right, okay, so offsides, yes, with the Flyers.
We would never stop talking about it.
1980.
Butch Goring. Never.
I know Leon Stickle's name because of this play.
Yeah,
right.
We would talk about it.
I watched the play. Till the day we died.
It happened 2 years before I existed.
Yeah.
And I know this guy's name.
I remember it. I'm not kidding.
This play, I believe you, Bob. But this play would become, if it cost them a Super Bowl, if it cost the Eagles a trip to the Super Bowl, this becomes the most infamous call in Philadelphia sports history.
Yeah, there's been some.
I'll say officiating moment, because there was no call.
No, there was a Black Friday where a ball ricocheted and Larry Bowa threw it the first against the Dodgers, and it could have been, it was a bang-bang play. They called him safe. It cost the Phillies from going to the World Series. There's been some, but you're right. In this day and age.
Black Friday I thought of, but wasn't that more so people talking about a defensive replacement that didn't happen?
Well, yeah, because Greg Lucinski was still in left field and he missed the ball where usually they put in Jerry Martin. I'm talking my age here. But, and I cried that day because I had tickets to the next game.
Mm. Now,
it never came about.
Oh, Bob, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. We'll talk about it as fans, right? We'll talk about this forever. But do players do this? Well, the Saints seem like it'll stick with them forever because, you know, the fact that it was the last play and all that sort of really a big opportunity to clinch the game. But will players talk about the officiating? Will they actually just 100% blame them? I mean, sure, as you just heard from Drew Brees, they had opportunities to win the game. And I thought Drew Brees had the perfect attitude after the game. And I respect him for that. But will players trash the officiating going forward as they, you know, think back to this game?
I don't know if they're going to publicly trash, because you can still get fined for that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins got fined.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that they're going to be upset about it. They're going to always use that as an excuse. If you're one of those type of guys that needs something, that's always has to find an excuse to blame something on. But, you know, if you're smart, you let it go and let's just keep moving, because, I mean, it's over with. There's nothing that you can't. What's harping on it going to do?
They had their opportunity.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It wasn't the last play of a game. They got the field goal. All right. They go up. The Rams are able to go down the field. The Rams still had to go down the field to get the field goal as well. Right. So it wasn't like it was a walk-off or anything like that, the last thing ever. But they go down the field. They get the field goal. Zuerlein, what a kick that was.
Holy hell.
Like a knuckleball almost.
Yeah. Like, it's going. It's pushing. And then it hooked back in left. Yeah. I was like, damn.
It looked like one of your golf shots almost.
I mean, a beautiful draw.
Yeah, really. Well, yeah. That would have landed nice on the green. Perfectly. Not too much.
It's a power fade, Bob. It's not a slice.
More like a slider, not a
knuckleball. I was trying to be nice to you. Look what you did.
Yeah, really. But so they get the win that way. You see the Rams are jubilant. We'll hear a little bit later from the man that that did not get the penalty called on him, the pass interference. Nickell Roby Coleman for the Rams. We'll get into that. Also, we're going to get into in a little bit the Nick Foles scenario with the $1 million bonus that he got. Because, Trey, I know you thought that was a very interesting decision to make by the Eagles.
Yeah.
So we'll jump into that. But I know right now Mike and KOP wants to chime in about his boy.
We talked again yesterday, and I alluded to his call from Friday. He might be up there in the top Andy Reid haters. Oh, and here he is to take joy.
Now, Mike called us also last week and was actually, I'll say this, though I disagreed with him, was poetic in his Andy Reid hate. Mike and KOP, congratulations, Andy Reid lost.
Before I get started here, I want to point one thing out. Mike Missinelli actually liked Fergie's rendition, so you guys should make fun of him for that.
Ooh.
I know, he called it breathy and sexy, and it was awful.
I haven't heard Mike say that, but I will say that I remember Fergie's, and I was along with Draymond Green.
All right.
I was laughing right along.
But look it up. It's real. It exists.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm ecstatic. I mean, the only way that game could have been any better is if after the game was over, a meteor crushed Tom Brady and I didn't have to see his stupid face for the next 2 weeks. But I'm just excited that I don't have to hear on this sports station every idiot that ever watched an Eagles game go, "Oh, we'll root for Andy Reid here." Because, like, he's not our coach anymore. I'm not rooting for him. And yesterday, I saw people posting stupid Facebook posts, "Eagles Nation's with you." And I went on there and was like, "No, we're not. I'm not with this guy." I'm just glad I don't have to listen to this for two more weeks because it's ridiculous.
I mean, here's the thing. It wasn't like I was rooting for Andy Reid. I wanted to see a good game, and I got that yesterday, so I'm happy. But I would have been, I guess, a little happier if Reid would go on and win a Super Bowl.
No, why? Why? He didn't win you one here, and he's going to win another fan base one. Why are you happy for this guy? Like,
I enjoyed a lot of winning Eagles seasons because of him.
Yeah, winning Eagles seasons that ended in nothing. Like, it was pointless. It was 14 years of pointlessness. And I'm just like,
talk to Trey Thomas, who was there for pointlessness, as you say, Mike.
Whoa.
Go ahead, Trey.
Trey Thomas didn't win a Super Bowl, and he regrets it. And you know who probably could have gotten him there? A better coach. and you know what? I'm just happy now. I hope I don't have to hear Andy Reid or Larry Brown's stupid name ever again. Like,
why are you bringing Larry Brown into this?
Because
they were good enough to get you to the pinnacle, but not get you over it.
Exactly. And he was.
No, I'm not agreeing with you. I'm making fun of you, Mike.
He was a bad drafter too, and I don't want to hear from his
Larry Hughes.
So I'm in a great mood today, guys. It's gonna be a good day.
All right, good for you, Mike. Thanks for chiming. At least he's real. That's how he feels.
Awesome. That's how he feels. I mean, you know, hey, whatever.
Look at you. He didn't need to take a shot.
That goes
at Trey
up my butt.
It didn't lose because Trey wasn't protecting the blind side. Trey was doing his job.
D Ford cost Andy Reid.
Would you not take a coach that's going to get you a chance for 12 years? Like, every year you go in there saying you have a legitimate chance. I'll take that all the time.
Here's the most.
You want to get over the top. I know that. God, I won championships in this city as much as anybody, and I've been around longer than everybody. But I'll take that guy. I'll take Andy Reid as my head coach 9 times out of 10 for the 10-year run to get you to have a chance to win it every year. That's something special.
Oh, certainly.
I understand winning is the ultimate. The championship is the ultimate. But, man, having a chance to get there every year and you know, being that one of the favorite teams going in every year, I'll take that.
It was a great run, and we all had fun, but the most frustrating thing about it was that it seemed like the same mistakes over and over again.
I hear you. No question. And when he left, it was time to go.
But the same thing you could say about Donovan and the same thing you could say about Andy. It felt like from the beginning to the end, it was the same mistakes. It wasn't a matter of, oh, well, Donovan really improved on that touch pass towards the end of his time here in Philadelphia. And it wasn't, oh, you know what? Then Andy Reid really got that clock management under, you know, he got that down pat now.
Good thing Donovan didn't throw it at his ankles there. That would have been really frustrating.
Right. But that's what was the most frustrating thing about it. And then, as a fan, you would pay attention to the press conference because just maybe the reporters would ask the question that you had. And 9 times out of 10, guess what?
Yours.
They asked the question, and 9 and 10 times out of 10, a condescending non-answer was given.
And see, the thing is, that's why I don't bother arguing in this, because it's not for me as a player, someone that played under him for 10 years. It's not about wins and losses and just what all we were able to do.
Right.
It was about what he did for me as a human, as someone that was able to work with him, how he helped mold me for even off the field and, you know, everything that was going on with that. So it's not just about what we did as our record.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, so that's why I don't bother arguing this with anybody.
Plus, you didn't have, like I can't tell you about what it's like to be a player. Like, to be a fan and go through that period of, and this was the worst part, and I've said this many times before, we were never invited. Like, there was no, hey, come on in, fans. And whenever he acknowledged the fan base, it was always the same line over, you know, the greatest fans in the National Football League. And it was like it was scripted that somebody else wrote for him. That it never seemed genuine. And then the other mind ninja-ing thing he would do is when you met him one on one, nicest guy in the world.
Yeah. But is that his job as a coach?
Oh, you know what I mean? Players?
Like, is that But is that his job? Is that his job to relate to fans as a coach? Now, I would want it as a media member. I wanted it if I'm a fan. I wanted it. I want all that, and I hear you, Mark. But is that his job?
Absolutely. Like,
it's his job to become one-on-one with the fan base.
You know how I know that? Emotional intelligence from the owner.
If you have it,
emotional intelligence.
If you have it with your players, do you really need it with the fans?
Absolutely.
I don't think Trey Thomas as a player would give a rat's ass if Andy Reid was getting along with the fans or
and
not.
And nor should he.
Right.
From a player's perspective, but from a fan's as a head coach, you got to take care of everything. If you're not going to be Bill Belichick and just go to the Super Bowl every year, you better win all the time. That's why a guy like Andy Reid is respected, but he's not beloved in Philadelphia. As a guy that wanted to see him win, I will say, and I've said this forever since he left, he will be respected, but he will not be loved. Buddy Ryan is loved, and he accomplished it 1/16th.
Aren't you arguing against yourself?
No, I'm not, because Buddy Ryan identified with the fan base.
No, I know. Okay, but what did it get him? Like, nothing. Like, Buddy Ryan sucked.
It got him loved in Philadelphia forever.
I know, but and I'm just throwing. I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah, but it's fine.
Yeah. I kind of.
I'm not arguing, but here's your point.
Is that in the coach's head? Is that something? Okay, Buddy went out of his way to be beloved by the fans. Guy couldn't win a playoff game.
Should be.
I mean, Andy Reid didn't give a crap what the fans thought. He was all about his team, and he got you to 5 NFC championships or 4, whatever it was. I understand he didn't win the big one. Don't give me the.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. At some point to a coach, I think there's some things that you have to push aside. If you can all encompass everything, great. Good on you. Bill Belichick doesn't. He doesn't give a crap what people think about him. This guy's been to 9 Super Bowls. You know, like, so there's kind of, if you decompartmentalize, did I say that right, Mark?
I think you
nailed
it.
That might be the biggest word I've ever used.
That's amazing.
Some people say, you know, what the fans think of me, I can't worry about. I got to worry about this. So I understand what you're saying. He wasn't beloved because of it, but damn, he was a good coach in spite of it.
Yeah, but the other part is that we as a city didn't feel like we could go along for the ride with him because he was so
I guess my point is doesn't
doors.
Matter.
I think it does.
Okay.
Especially, like, listen to a guy like Mike, right? Lived his whole life here, all that stuff, Eagles fan. He is rooting against a guy that coached him for 14 years, got you to 5 conference championships. I can't, off the top of my head, what, 6 NFC East titles?
At least,
like, a lot of success, great run, you were always in it, but to hell with them. Because the guy didn't improve on those 2 things, and then the third thing, and I'm saying again, third, it's not number one, but never identified with this fan base.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks. 610-632-0975. Coming up, talk to Philly J in D.C. Got some open lines after that if you want to jump in. And then, Nick Foles and this $1 million bonus. What does it mean? Oh, we'll jump into that coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I picked up something yesterday while I was watching these games, and it was during the Saints-Rams game, because it was Fox. That Masked Singer show,
Yeah. See the previews for this?
Yeah, I've seen
I mean, it's supposedly like doing really well.
Antonio Brown was the first week, and I think
Jimmy Johnson was one.
I don't know. Terry Bradshaw was one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that, Jamie?
Antonio Brown was the week one guest, and it was during week 17 in the NFL season that he filmed it.
Nice.
So I think he had already severed some ties there with the whole Roethlisberger thing, and then he's showing up on The Masked Singer. I'm going, all right, AB, you've run your course here.
It looks like, I haven't watched it, but when I first saw the preview for it, I guess weeks ago, it looked like, I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought it was like a fake thing for that was going to be like an ad for like Geico or something. Like, I was waiting for the, just kidding, but you can say 50% or more. And I'm like, I thought it was a fake show, and it's very much real. And apparently, all of America is watching this.
Apparently, it's good, I've heard.
I have not watched it.
What's the premise? Somebody sings under a mask, and you have to guess who it is?
It's not just a mask, Bob. It's a full costume.
Yeah, it's a full.
So, wait, Terry Bradshaw is singing, and you have to guess who. What?
I think, yeah, that's the premise. Like it's like Jenny McCarthy, who I still love, and the guy from that thing, as he refers to himself as, from Hangover.
The guy from The Hangover, yeah.
Exactly. He's like, Ken Jeong, is that his name?
Yeah, he was in The Community as well.
Yes.
Very good show.
He's one of the judges and then some other person, and they just try to guess the person singing that's in the costume behind the mask.
If Terry Bradshaw's singing, I'm pretty sure I would guess who it was. I don't really
have you heard Terry Bradshaw sing?
I've never heard him sing.
Oh, I can't imagine. It sounds all that great or much different than him speaking.
But apparently it's doing it's a big
he
hit.
Might be the songbird of his time.
Yeah, right. Maybe better than Jimmy Buffett is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know.
Wait, that wasn't Jimmy Buffett? That wasn't Terry Bradshaw singing the national anthem?
Jesus
can
and
you,
Fergie.
Can you get that's got to be on the internet somewhere.
With the Fergie rendition?
No. The
Jimmy Buffett?
Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah,
I haven't heard it. And I'd like to be able to give my my opinion about Jimmy Buffett, because I saw your tweet about it.
Yeah, it was awful. And he dropped the mic. Like, I just killed this. Good luck to whoever's going to follow me.
I am the greatest singer in the world.
It was like being at church and the the guy who decides to sing louder than everybody else. That's what Jimmy Buffett was yesterday.
That was a good. I don't want to tell that story. But anyway, I said it to somebody one time in church years ago, and I was just like, I was kidding because I thought they were kidding when they were singing.
So loudly, you're so into it?
Yeah, like I thought they were just messing around trying to entertain themselves because they were bored. And I just go, man, you are the songbird of your generation. And he goes, oh, thanks. And I go,
you just said, you're welcome.
I just encouraged and I should not have encouraged. Philly J in D.C. What's up, Philly J?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
All right.
Hey, I'm going to respond to that idiot Mike that just called.
Ooh, name calling. Okay.
First of all, that dude got to be one of the dumbest people I ever heard called. Did he really just say the tenure of Andy Reid is pointless?
Yes.
That's exactly what he said.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So ask that fool when he called the next time, do he want Rich Kotite back?
Rich Kotite,
or better yet, why don't you ask a Buffalo Bills fan what they've been going through for the last 18 years.
Yeah.
So basically what he's saying is what Trey Thomas did and Brian Westbrook, all these guys who worked hard, including Andy Reid, he said basically all that was pointless, going to 5 NFC championship games, a Super Bowl, winning 6 or 7 division titles, and going to the playoffs is pointless. That guy has no appreciation for anything.
Philly J, this is what comes to mind. Like, did he not call? Maybe the next time we talk to Mike, which is hopefully soon, because he's a good caller. He's opinionated. The thing is, did he not go to one party during that run? Did he not go to like one bar? Did he not hang out with his friends one time? Did he not enjoy one moment in that run? Because I had a lot of moments that I really enjoyed during that run.
Me too. I mean, I enjoyed a lot of moments during that run. Look. Guys like Andy Reid, I mean, Dick Vermeil, when he was here, he didn't win either. But if you take a look at what the franchise was before Dick Vermeil got there, he changed that around. And the only reason why they struggled was because he got burnt down and retired. When Andy Reid came here, I mean, it was we had a couple of good years with Rich Kotite, and that's it. Buddy Ryan, I'm not trying to hate on him, but this dude had arguably the greatest defense in NFL history and couldn't win a playoff game.
And a pretty damn good quarterback.
And had some good offensive talent. Keith Jackson was good. I mean, Keith Byers was a nice receiver, a running back coming out the backfield. And they had two deep threats at receiver with Barnett and Calvin Williams. And yeah, he's revered, and Andy Reid constantly gets bashed. I really don't understand the logic. And for me, I don't really care about if the coach is like what you were saying about with Bill Belichick. He don't really care about nobody. I care about is can that coach put the best team on the field that he can. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles did that during it. You got to really.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.